B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce, have you ever taken a step back and just realized how much your reputation as a coach has changed in the last 2.5 years, and with the win tonight, what your legacy will be?
No, I haven't thought about it too much. I mean, I've answered questions about, you know, my first coaching gig in the NHL was a long time ago. I think those have been asked and answered. People grow as people. I'm no different. As for your legacy, I think that's judged down the road. I talk to players about that a lot, you know, about this year. When you start the playoffs, you know, what certain players over the years about how they're labeled. We use that word around here, but I think it's for much later. And so I haven't thought about mine personally. I just want my name in the damn cup. That's what I want.
From Canal Street and the Boston Sports Grill at our Star Market broadcast booth, taking you up until Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The greatest trophy in sports for the greatest sport on the planet, as I said earlier. That all comes down tonight. Game 7, winner take all. We got it tonight on 98.5. The Sports Hub pregame starts at 7. We will take you right up until 7 o'clock, and that's the deal. We'll take your calls. We'll have another guest coming up later on this hour. And that's pretty much it, folks. That's pretty much it. What else needs to be said? We're taking your reaction. Here's Mike in Danvers. What do you got, Mike? Lead us off this hour.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Before I get to my point, Mike, real quick. When a player gets suspended, is that team allowed to replace the suspended player?
Yes.
They are. Okay. Because I was thinking maybe the league gave Berube a heads up about the butt end and he made a replacement. Okay. All right. The other thing I want to say, I'm not sure if people understand the series. I mean, I'm nervous about it too, longtime Bruins fan. But St. Louis has played a hell of a series. They've bounced back every single time. This is not going to be a cakewalk tonight. It's going to be a very difficult game. And I'll tell you, I almost don't want to watch the thing, Mike. So I just think we're not giving St. Louis enough credit.
I am. This thing's going to be a nightmare. This thing's going to be a freaking nightmare. Root canal. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. This is not enjoyable.
No.
It might be tomorrow if they win. Maybe. But no. No. I woke up this morning and immediately wanted to puke across the room. So I'm not taking that team lightly. I think they can easily beat you. I think that 5-on-5, they have been the better team, and that's generally the best predicator on who's going to win these series. A better 5-on-5 team typically prevails in these situations, typically speaking. The last two times you've been in the finals, that's the way it worked. You were a better 5-on-5 team than Vancouver. You prevailed. Chicago was a better 5-on-5 team than you. They prevailed. So that's typically what happens here. So that's what has me the most nervous. That doesn't mean it can't flip. It's not like they've been dramatically better. It's 12-10 in goals, 5-on-5. So it's not like it's 20-10. It's close. So can you beat him 5-on-5? I think that's what it's going to take. Again, he mentioned, though, going back to the Bortuzzo butt end, this is the second or third time someone has mentioned this. Have we missed something?
No, it wasn't a butt end. He punched him. Jabbed him, even. It wasn't even a punch.
Okay,
this is just Bruins fans whining, okay? And look, again, the coach pulled him out. So that tells you what they think about Bortuzzo. Then they get to the most important game maybe in the history of the franchise. In fact, I'll take the maybe away.
Yes.
It is the most important game in the history of the franchise.
Thank you. They were down 3-0 in 1970, in case you didn't know.
So you'll look at all that, and the coach looked at Bortuzzo and said, we don't want you on the ice. So, you know, again, whether he's suspended or not.
That Edmondson move is an interesting move, man.
I mean, really, that's effectively what the Blues are saying. So just remember, too, in this series, the Blues have beaten the Bruins two times in a row. The Bruins have yet to beat the Blues twice straight.
Correctamundo. Niles in Connecticut. Go ahead, Niles.
Hey, guys. Yeah, just to repeat what you guys are saying, this hasn't been fun watching these games. It's been absolutely brutal. Tonight's going to be brutal. But one thing I wanted to say, and you guys touched on it the other day, and it's gone a little sort of like, I don't know, it feels like this, the regular season was like a year ago, but the first line has been down all playoffs. And it could be injury to Patrice. I don't know what it is, but if they've been at like 40%, if you even get like 75% from them tonight,
yes,
I feel like we're going to win.
Yes.
I think it's just gone sort of underreported, Mike. I know the Blues are gritty and tough, and you're saying that they are equal. If the first line had given us anything resembling what they did during the regular season, it would not be. We would have won 5 or 6 games. I mean, every night and night after the regular season, they'd be the first line putting up 5, 6 points.
So, Niles,
I mean, it's so different.
Okay, but let me just tell you, it's not that unusual. It happened to the first line last year against Tampa. Hedman, Strahlman, McDonough. Sometimes you run into a good opponent that matches up well with you. And Tampa and that D, an excellent match for your first line. And they shut your ass down last year. Now, in this series, Petrangelo, Bouwmeester, Parayko, those are elite, excellent defensemen. And they've shut you down. So don't act like, you know, every year this line's doing everything up until now. Sometimes you're under a tough opponent. Now, that being said, Bergeron's the one that I look for. Bergeron's the one that I look at and said, you got one night. This is usually your night. You know, he's shown up big time in these games. And people forget, in 2013, one of the reasons you petered out there at the end is that he had some bad rib injury.
Punctured lung, ultimately.
May not have played Game 7. Even if Rask had hung on there at the end of Game 6, Bergeron might not have played Game 7. I don't think he played the end of Game 6. I think he was out that game, wasn't he?
In fact, well, Claude Julien told NHL.com today, there was a good story on there, Julien talking about Bergeron and what he means to a team, and said that had there been a Game 7, he wouldn't have played.
Yeah, so that's a whole other thing. So I think Bergeron's obviously hurting with something. But now it's one game. Now it's 60 minutes. It's 20 minutes for you. You got 20 good minutes. You put up some numbers.
I'll take 15.
Right?
Like, really?
Yeah, the caller's saying like 70% we need from that line. I'll take 15% because it's been mostly a nothing throughout this series.
And so, look, I mean, with I think Bergeron's the guy that drives it. So the fact that it's been sort of inconsistent, I think, is largely related to him and the injury. But despite everything the caller said, I think Marchand's still the top scorer in the postseason.
He is for the league, yeah.
Right? So it's not like he's been a total zero. It's just come on special teams.
All right, Frank the Tank, how do you prepare for a night like tonight?
Yeah, I've already started drinking. That's how I prepare.
So used to be, I think in 2011, you told us that it's 6 beers, 2 bong hits, and then you choke out your roommate with a pillow?
And antacids. Don't forget the antacids.
Yeah, it's beer, cigarettes, antacid, aspirin, and the occasional funny cigarette will get you through it. But listen, I mean, before I get to my point about the skating, I mean, to borrow a line from The Dark Knight, which probably only Murray is going to get, I mean, have your balls dropped off? Like, what is the matter with everybody? Like, this is Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, it's almost better than sex. It is the ultimate game for the ultimate championship. And everybody's talking about, oh, I'm nervous. Well, of course, everybody's nervous. You wouldn't be a human being if you weren't nervous. But this is an awesome feeling. This is a great thing.
It's not pleasant, Frank. It's not a pleasant feeling.
Oh, come on, Mike. This is like getting ready to nail the prom queen. I mean,
yeah, and I usually sucked on that night, too. I never came through then either.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm great at sex. First off, I don't think Rask should be worried about who's waving the flag. If he's worried about that, then he is the PUD that everyone says he is. I happen to believe he's not. And look, if the Bruins are going to win tonight, they need to do the same formula that they've had in the other victories. Skate. You're a better skating team than these guys are. I'm not saying that you can match them physically, because it's been proven throughout the series that you can't. But you're not chickens.
Skate.
You guys can hit, too. It's all about skating. Get the puck in behind these guys. Skate, 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 and send them to their emotional destruction.
Okay, Frank, as usual, thank you. Skating. You're not going to out-hit them. Skate.
No, and maybe that's the light that went off in the last game. Right? We'll pack it in. We're not going to play with them on the wall. We're not going to play with them behind the net. you know, we're just going to jam the front of the net, see if you can get the puck through, and then when we get it in open ice, we're going to outrun you.
And that's the logic, I think, of putting Grizzlick back in, too. You know, even if there's going to be some rust there, or you were like a little caught up on the left
thing,
right?
Yeah. Well, no, but if it's about speed, then it's about speed. I understand, and maybe those two lefts aren't going to play together. Maybe it's about double-shifting Carlo and McAvoy, and Grzelcyk is out there for more offensive situations, and John Moore is out there for more defensive situations. Makes perfect sense to me.
Totally right. Yeah, again, I think that when we had Eddie Olczyk on, he nailed it. You're going to see a lot of Carlo and McAvoy on the ice, double-shifting, getting lots of minutes out there. And, you know, if the Bruins can just put a little pressure on Binnington, I think they can crack him.
We've been saying that all series. Leo in Chelmsford on Tuukka Rask. Yes, Leo.
Hey, Felga, Maz, long time, first time. Listen, I think Frank the Tank might have had one too many funny cigarettes there. Listen, I think Maz was on to something. Tuukka is going to be rattled tonight. He's going to need a new pair of shorts when he sees Timmy T coming out, all 380 pounds of him. And he's just going to be in a complete pretzel. Let me know what you think.
Okay. I am curious to see what Tim Thomas looks like.
Right.
So it wasn't me. It was Murray who theorized that Tuukka would be rattled. But the 380 pounds might be right.
I'm curious what he looks like.
Yeah.
Does he get full Ted Kaczynski beard? Is it like Duck Dynasty? Like he's just literally out of his shack in Idaho?
And all he eats is like those MREs that they give to soldiers.
Sure.
The meals ready to
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, no, I got some of those in the basement for the apocalypse.
Oh, he's going to be thick. There's no two
ways. Is he going to be thick?
Oh, yes, he is. He's going to be thick.
This is a guy, I think, that lives off the land.
No,
a lot of free-range chickens.
What's the last picture I've seen of Tim Thomas? What about Google image Tim Thomas?
I guarantee you that Murray, he might be living off the land. I guarantee he's also slugging some beers. Like, 380 is a good guess.
380?
Come on.
Well, that's 380? That's hyperbole.
Thank you.
Don't take it.
But you think he'll be a moose.
Oh, I think he'll be puffy. That's what I think. I think there's a chance that he'll look as much like Andy Gresh as he could.
Would you stop with this? Out of hiding, out of the shack in Idaho, Tim Thomas rejoins the Boston Bruins. It is a great story. I'm not taking credit for anything, but I do remember coming out 2 weeks ago after that first night when they had the 2011 Bruins. I said, I'm sorry. Tim Thomas is the guy that has to be back, and that's the one that's going to leave an impact. That's the guy that's really going to make it. I think he would be my number one choice. I think he's more impactful than Brady. Here in this context,
you know, if he's going to start that banner thing, I hope they can squeeze him into the row.
Let's see. Maybe he's just been on nuts and berries, Maz, and he's thin as a twig.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Yeah, he might be more impactful than Brady in terms of a jinx if it rattles Tuukka a little bit. I'll just say this: like, if the Red Sox didn't break through last year, specifically David Ortiz, and say there was a Game 7 against the Dodgers, and it was here, and David Ortiz is going to pitch that night, I wouldn't want them rolling out Pedro Martinez to throw the first pitch.
David Price, but I hear what you're saying. But if David Price was going to lose that game or Tuukka Rask is going to lose this game because who's in the stands, then they weren't going to win anyway. Then Tuukka Rask is not in the zone that we're giving him credit for.
I think he's going to look like Jonah Hill.
More on Tuukka Rask coming up right after this.
It's Felger and Maz at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Maz, it's...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Maz from the Star Market Booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Would you say, win or lose tomorrow, would you say he's shut the critics up?
Well, that's up to for them to decide. I mean, for you to follow me, I've been honest with this play for 3 years I've been here, but I'm not a critic. I always believed he's one of the elite goalies in the league. I think when you win championships, it cements that. You know, that's part of your legacy. So clearly winning a championship at any, you know, those key positions, quarterback, you know, starting pitcher, goaltender is a lot of times what defines you down the road. So, you know, he'll be ready to do it. Let's hope we're good in front of him. I have no worries about him tomorrow. You know, it's more about our team being ready to go and executing the way we need to.
Cassidy yesterday on Tuukka Rask. Kevin Weeks joins us now from the NHL Network.
What's up, fellas?
For the final night.
How you doing?
Catch him pregame, postgame on the NHL Network. How you doing, Kevin?
Amazing. Wow. What a crowd. A Jays fan here. What's happening? I see him in the sea of Red Sox Nation. I'm from Toronto, but you know we live in Jersey, so just outside New York. But yeah, everything is great. This atmosphere is bonkers right now.
It's insane. It's insane.
Holy.
And I know what you're going to say, and I'm always, because Kevin, so listen, we've talked to you a couple times now. Yeah. I know this. You are a card-carrying member of the Goaltenders Union.
Of course. Not just card-carrying. Lifetime.
You are a lifetime member of the Goaltenders Union. You are protective of these guys.
Yes.
And so I want to try and break that just a little bit.
Yeah, with who? Tuukka?
Well, does he need this for his legacy?
Don't
we look differently at guys that have won?
You always look differently at guys that have won. The hard thing with that, too, is there have been so many great players that weren't fortunate enough to be on teams to win. So that's also the difficulty. You know, I always say hockey is such a team sport. Obviously, you're not an individual athlete in hockey. It's different if you're playing at the French Open over in Roland Garros right now. Hockey, you need a lot of things to go your way. I mean, look at the great Ray Bourque. For all the years, he was the face of this franchise, one of the best players on the planet, always great for the Bruins, always great for Team Canada. If he didn't go to the Avs and get that opportunity to go to the Avs, it wasn't happening for him here. You know, and everybody knows he's one of the best defensemen that ever played. So does it help? Does it elevate? Of course it does. But I also think that Ray Bourque's one of the best defensemen that ever strapped him up. We can't discredit that. So, we always give a little extra wink and an extra little credibility. So for Tuukka, I think it'd be amazing for him. Obviously, it'd be great for the city, for the fans. And for Tuukka, you know the interesting thing too, guys, is I've been protecting Tuukka a long time. And you know how everybody always says, oh my God, well, Timmy, and we talked about this, Timmy was all world, which he was.
Yeah.
Tuukka's all world right now. He's all world.
And well, the numbers are virtually identical.
They're almost identical.
But Tim Thomas closed. Tim Thomas got to this game this night.
I was there.
And he shut him out on 37 shots.
I was there. So I was in the building. I'm on the mic. I remember it.
Okay.
I remember. But you also remember, too, on the other side of that, Timmy was here for a few years. Like, Tuukka's your franchise guy. He's all-time winningest in the regular season. Soon to be all-time winningest in the postseason on an esteemed franchise that is the Boston Bruins. So on the other side of it. But, yeah, of course, man, we're going to give it a little extra credibility.
Thank you.
If they win the cup, of course.
Okay. And
yes.
By the way,
sure.
We've been repeating a report all day that Thomas is going to be in the building to wave the flag tonight.
What?
On the NHL Network.
Where'd they find Timmy?
So
you kidding me?
Now I'm hearing that may be a faulty report, and he may not be here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which
I was going to say.
That's too bad.
Which would be too bad.
Yeah. Murray's happy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit happy. Not that I'm not a fan of him. I just think it's kind of bad mojo. It's been all about Tuukka this postseason. You bring back the one guy he's had to hear about year after year after year. He's living in his shadow.
But he took the baton after him, though. But you know nothing fazes Tuukka, though. You know
seemingly
Tuukka
not
is.
This year.
Okay.
Nothing fazes Tuukka, man.
The other guy. You've been very protective of Jordan Binnington.
Yes, as I was of Tuukka.
Does he deserve it? I mean, assess his playoff series. Assess his finals.
Oh, the final itself. Okay,
because
I just was trying to understand your question. It's been up and down. You know, I think he's had some brilliant moments. I think he's had some average moments, some moments where you could see that he's learning. I mean, he was apprenticing on the job. This is pretty tough to do. So I think it's been uneven for him. But one thing that I can say is puck handling is amazing. I think he's the best puck handling goalie in the league, period. And, you know, I like the fact that he believes in himself. And he's not afraid of the stage. You know, not everybody that you play with can really handle the stage. Even guys that are established. There are instances where guys all of a sudden, some guys, ooh, my groin. Ooh, I don't know. Ooh, I'm not feeling too good. And he's been like, no, man, let's do it. I'm good. Let me roll. After letting in bad goals.
What's the same with him skating across the ice and bumping?
That
players?
I don't like.
What
one
is
of my
that?
Buddies from back home.
Yeah, what's that all about?
No, one of my buddies from back home. Was actually coaching with Cincinnati Cyclones in the East Coast League in the ECHL. We were just on the phone. He's assistant coach, our other buddy, Matt Thomas, the head coach, Jason Payne and Matt Thomas. And he's just like, Weezy, what's happening with Binner? What's happening? Like, what's he doing? Why is he doing that for? I don't like it myself. There's guys out there to handle that stuff. He's not one of them. I mean, if a brawl breaks out, you got to handle yourself or you got to defend your teammates. But that's something that I don't like. I've never been a big fan of that kind of stuff, unless that's your role. If you're a tough guy, you're a power forward, you're a hardcore defenseman, that's a different game. You're a goalie, just stop the puck. I think right now, that's something that in a year that's been a whirlwind year, where he's had so many, I don't want to say lows, but to have this launch in this trajectory in this short amount of time, when you do a deep dive in the offseason, that's one thing that I think he needs to clean up.
So let's go back to game three for a second, because when Corrali scored on him, you said you thought, well, no, that's a tougher save than people say. I couldn't have disagreed with you more.
Yeah.
And we disagreed on it at the time, but yeah. We had Eddie Olczyk on a little while ago,
yeah.
And he said the last game that he didn't blame Binnington for the Carlo goal.
Yeah, the skipper.
The one that bounced.
Yeah, the skipper.
Do you agree with Eddie, or do you agree with me? Because I think he should have had.
I agree with Eddie, and I got to tell you why. If that was
a
skipper.
Known.
No, listen to me. If that was a skipper to the glove side, I would have said, sure, because we all grew up playing baseball. You know what I'm saying? And you get your body behind it, and you're more apt to kind of initiate that move to the glove side because we're used to playing baseball growing up in school. The blocker side is a weird thing because the only sport that you actually have something in front of you and a stick and a blocker and you have it in front of you is hockey. It doesn't really correlate with anything else. So that's why a lot of players, when you talk to shooters, are like, I love blocker side, low blocker, high block. I love going stick side. That's why they know it's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a bugaboo, but it's more of an unnatural motion. It's always easier to go here. It's always easier to reach with the glove. So for that reason, I thought, funny, I just saw Carlo, by the way, in the stairwell. I didn't ask him about it. But
so the Carlo goal, that one went under Binnington's arm.
Yeah, yeah, that was a skipper. That was a skipper,
right,
though.
And look, even going back to the San Jose series, and I know we're in game seven now, Kevin, but it feels to me like he's vulnerable there in that spot. Like, he gets beat there a lot.
Could be. I mean, that's as I said, there's a reason why shooters like to go there. You know, there's a reason why shooters like to go there. I think he's got really good hands. I think his glove's awesome. But interesting you make the point, because I felt last game, and we said this on the air, conversely, which is what, I mean, Tuukka's been all world, all playoffs long. But what really impressed me last game is not Tuukka's glove, which you know is amazing. It was his blocker, ironically enough. I said Tuukka was blocker dominant last game. There are a lot of saves. You go back and watch the tape from last game. Blocker save, blocker, perfect placement. He was sliding into some of those ones, blocker side as well. And I think when you're just locked in and you're feeling 100% all world, the blocker side is less of a problem. But when you're a little uneven, it becomes a little bit more of a reality. I think that's what we've seen with Binner here
the Blues were beating him there early in the series.
Yeah.
Kevin Weeks, NHL Network, joins us here on set. Catch him pre and post on the NHL Network. How do you view this game tonight, Kev?
Man, I think this is massive. This is historic. Are you looking around?
Yeah.
I'm looking around. I mean, I think it's historic for a lot of you people here in Boston. It might be old hat for you, even though I'm saying that rhetorically, but because this is title town now. But I think this is massive. You know, this is a huge game. Just think about this, right? For example, you mentioned 2011 a little bit earlier. So we're there. That was my second Stanley Cup final that I covered as a broadcaster. And what was interesting about, there are a lot of things that were interesting. But
the
Danton Heinen,
burning down.
I've never seen anything like that. I thought I was in the Gaza Strip in the 80s, Beirut. It was terrible. Never seen anything like it. I had to walk through it. It was crazy,
crazy
post-game. But Danton Heinen was in the stands. Here's my point. So Danton Heinen was in the stands. He's from BC, from out there in Vancouver.
Yep.
And he had a Canucks jersey on, and he's in the stands. And he talked about being at the game. He went to three of the games in that series.
No way.
Yes. Spring forward now, here to 2019. He's playing for the Boston Bruins. He's repping the Spoke B, and here he is with a chance to win the Cup. So it's just crazy to see in another Game 7. So it's just crazy to see how life is. You know, the girl of today is the lady of tomorrow. The boy of today is the man of tomorrow. So,
but who has the edge on the ice tonight?
Oh, man. I mean, come on now. You guys, are you guys buying me some Arnold Palmers?
No.
Of course the Bruins have the edge.
They do? Why?
I mean, the Bruins are more dynamic. The Bruins are faster. They play a more up-tempo game. They've got a lot of more... They have a lot more skill in their game, a lot more creativity, and their power plays money, and their penalty kills even better, right? So I think you put those elements together, the Bruins have the edge. But, guys, you know as well as I do, man, you can't take anybody lightly. You know, you can't underestimate a team.
It's hockey.
Exactly, and a team that was dead last in the league on January 3rd. Pardon me, and now you see them where they are here in the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7. So I think for the Bruins, they got to come out and get to their game early. Another thing for the Bruins, too. Let's keep in mind, I remember being at Winter Classic at Notre Dame. And this guy's out of the lineup. I talked to McAvoy. I talked to this person. I talked to Big Z. Look at what the Bruins have been able to overcome this year with their injuries. It's pretty special.
Yeah.
So I give the Bruins the edge, but they're going to have to get to their game, get to their speed game early and often, and try to get a stranglehold of this game.
Are you a believer one way or another that the whistles get put away in Game 7? Like, do you think that, generally speaking, you're not going to see more than probably a couple of power plays each side?
I think it all depends on how the game's played, right? How the teams play. You know, we had a chance to speak to Wes McCauley, best official in the game right now for me. We saw him at Regina. Shout out to Regina Pizzeria on Thatcher in the North End. Those guys are great guys, great people over there. They're so gracious. But we saw Wesley McCauley last night. We talked to him about it a little bit. The biggest thing that I know from the officials is they want to let the players play. Officials don't want to be the story for the right or wrong reasons. They just want to do their job. They always say we have the best athletes in the world, and they want them to shine brightest. So this is a game where people are paying $3,000, $4,000, $6,000, $10,000, you know, coming in from Bangor, Maine, New Hampshire, Germany, Russia, to come and watch this game. You want to watch Brad Marchand do his thing. You want to see Carlo. You want to see Tarasenko. You want to see these world-class athletes do what they do. So to predict it, if I had to handicap it that way, I'd say maybe we see a combined 6 penalties. But these guys know what's at stake, man. And I don't think either team's going to get unraveled and undisciplined in this game.
Doesn't that favor the Blues?
Of course, because the Bruins' power play is lethal. You kidding me? That's lethal injection right now.
And the Blues have been better 5-on-5.
And the Blues have been better 5-on-5, but their power play, I call it a power kill. It's been terrible for them. It's been a momentum killer, right? So I think when you're able to get the brief, you're the Bruins, and you get that top line and that top unit, and the second unit's money too, you know, it's a big advantage to the Bruins because that's their strength right now.
Kevin, thanks so much for coming by.
You done already? What's going
on?
That's it. You guys have changed.
We're out of clock.
What do you mean you're out of clock? What's happening? I'm looking at the fellas around. We're out of clock.
Right. Don't judge it by that.
No, we adhere to the boundaries.
You set the boundaries. What do you mean you adhere to them? Hey, listen, fellas. Thanks so much for having me on. You guys have been great. Thanks to all the fans here in Beantown, all throughout New England, man. You've been amazing all year. A lot of them tune in and watch on the NHL Network. You've been awesome. And to finish off as awesome as you've been, if you want to send a couple Arnold Palmers or lemonades with ice to the set,
hold on, big deal.
Hold on. You know what I mean?
Send Jackie Redmond next time for Matt.
I see what it is.
Just like that. Kevin, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Here's an update.
For having me on.
Here's an update. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Park with it. Scores! Brad Park wins the game! Brad Park, a rebound! And the Bruins win 3-2!
It is New Jersey in alone for a beat. They go in front. Save and the score. One on Don Sweeney, and a save by Moog. Another save.
Game 7 is a game 7. You go in there and you give it your best shot.
Horton, little room, his draw, score! Nathan Horton wins game 7 in overtime, and the Bruins beat the Canadiens.
Embrace it. It's exciting. It's what you play for. Playoff hockey, game 7.
Barrett's up the middle of Krejci. Krejci to the left wing circle. Krejci looking, feet toward tip, score! Nathan Horton in front, and the Bruins have the lead.
Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7. Not much more needs to be said.
Back comes Daniel Sedin. Backhand on a save. Thomas. Score! Bergeron gets it shorthanded. Get the duck boats ready. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
I think it's important for us to bring the good Bruins team to the table for Game 7.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
And Bergeron a one-timer. Save Reimer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Richard score! Bergeron!
Take that, Reimer, you bum.
This is a game that players dream about being in this situation. Game 7.
Here's DeBrus going wide, drops his shoulder, shoots. He scores! Jake DeBrus barrel over the line, into the right circle, dropped the shoulder, got a step, and then whistled a wrister by Freddie Anderson. 5-4 Bruins!
You have to to have more will than the guy across, and it pretty much is the message we give them.
Right circle, Johansson fires, he scores! Marcus Johansson!
Game 7, I do believe if you're going to have home ice advantage, that is the game you want. I just want my name in the damn cup. That's what I want.
Well, Game 7 hype montage here, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart. Joining us here on set is Ty Anderson, you know him, 98.5thesportshub.com. Take some calls with us down the stretch here, Ty, okay?
Love it.
Andrew in New Bedford on Tim Thomas. Is he going to be here or not? Andrew, what are your thoughts on Tim Thomas?
Well, you called him Ted Kaczynski, so I just wanted to clear that up. I feel like you guys are alienating him because he's a libertarian.
So I can't really hear you, but thank God, because I heard libertarian.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what he said. He said we're alienating him or something?
Probably. Yeah, you don't want him here because that's not how you vote.
You want to call Howie Carr, okay? Again, I don't... Jimmy, give me the number. I don't even mind giving the number. So I don't have to listen to these a-holes. You want to cry about politics? Call Howie, okay? Is Tim Thomas even going to be here tonight, Ty?
From my understanding, he is not going to be here tonight. And I've gotten this from more than a few people now. They don't know how this started, where it's coming from, but he is not here. That's what I'm being told. I don't know if I'm being misdirected here. They want a big surprise. If they want a big surprise, it's already out. But from what I've gathered, he is not even in Massachusetts right now.
Darn it.
Yay.
Okay, so Murray was worried about Tim Thomas climbing in Tuca's head. Would that have been your worry?
You know, it was at first when I first heard it. I said, ooh, I don't know if I like that. And then I thought about it. He's got pressure no matter who is in the building tonight.
Thank you.
When you think about everything that he has going on right now, what's on the line for him? It's kind of remarkable to think that this all might mean nothing if he doesn't win this game in the eyes of the common fan. I look at him like he's the best because he is the best, as we all know. But until he wins, it means nothing. So I'm okay with whoever it is, but it's not going to be Tim Thomas tonight, and that's good for Tuca.
Okay, Terry and Haverhill. Go ahead, Terry. What do you got?
Hi. I was wondering what your thoughts are on how dirty the Blues are going to play tonight. And I just can't shake this feeling that one of our guys is going to get a serious injury.
Okay, Terry, thank you for the call. I don't worry about this a bit. I think Bruins fans have been fed the boogeyman, which has been Craig Berube. I think people are going crazy with this, where it doesn't worry me at all. What the Blues are going to go out there and try and take scalps versus win the game. And if they're going out there to knock you out, that's to your advantage.
Well, did you hear what Berube said after Game 6? He thought his guys were afraid of taking hits or dishing out hits in Game 6 because of a suspension?
He didn't say that.
He said penalties.
He said penalties.
Okay, but still, you get
Shen plastering Nordstrom on the board. So even you, who are supposed to be chronicling this as a journalist, have just bought into that thing that's taken hold. He never said that.
I know what I'm watching.
It's true.
I know what I'm watching with this Blues team. I know what they're doing. They're finishing high. It's a strategy. I get it. I understand it. I understand why they're doing that. But it is a strategy. You don't think it's a strategy on their part by now? We've seen 4 or 5 of these hits now. It's a large enough sample size through 6 games to say, okay, they've identified a trend here. Let's take them out.
Okay, so let me ask you a question that, and Eddie Olczyk made this point when we had him on earlier, and honestly, it didn't even occur to me until he said it. When's the last time they hit the goalie?
Game three.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Right, I'm not saying that that's like some major indication of that, but his story was that Berube told them, guys, stop running into the goalie. What the hell are you doing? You're costing us penalties. These guys have a good power play, so what the hell are you doing?
Okay, but anyway, so I'm led to believe, Ty, that you are afraid of the Blues taking out players, and you think that that's coming tonight.
Well, I would say this. If you get suspended tonight, you're going to miss a game in September. Who cares? Who cares about missing a preseason game or opening night next year?
What if you get tossed tonight?
Well, that's a part of it, right? You have to toe the line.
What if you send the Bruins on the power play and they score?
Well, there's that as well. So I'm really curious to see how tenacious the Blues come out of this game, because I don't know if they're going to be able to get away with it. Game 6, they called it relatively even, I would say. I thought it was more of a home crowd, the Game 6 officiating.
Me too.
But so we'll see if that carries over to Game 7. But these guys are going to be better than Sutherland and Kazari in Games 3 and 5. I would hope so. You go back, Game 7... I think it was 2011 they were talking about today. Game 7, 2011 had, I think, 3 penalties in total by the end of the game. So I want something similar to that. I want to see a 5-on-5 game. As much as it favors the Bruins if it's a power play game, I do want to see these. I want to see this game decided by the players on the ice, not by what has been an incompetent run of officiating.
Well, if it's more 5-on-5, that's not to your advantage. If you want the Bruins to be at their best, you do want penalty calls. You do.
Well, you didn't think that they were better in Game 6 at 5-on-5? I thought they were significantly better.
Better than they have been. Were they still better than the Blues? It's close.
Well, I think on home ice, too, that might change things a little bit.
If I were the Bruins, I'd expect the Blues you got in Game 2 and Game 4. Those Blues teams came out
hitting
the crap out of you. I would expect that St. Louis team tonight.
Joe in Acton, what do you got for us?
Hi. Yeah, I think there's a greater reason why there's so much interest in New England on this game. And that is because this game is actually between the old big bad Bruins, which are just represented by the Blues, and the new Bruins. And maybe we're going to find out at the end of the game whether the change in management at the Bruins in the last 5 years is really paying off.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to cut you off. I think that's an interesting story about how the Bruins have evolved and what they've become. And we'll talk about that in the aftermath of this game for sure. That is not why this game is through the roof popular and tickets are Super Bowl prices and it's going to do a massive number. It's going to do a massive number and it's such a big deal because it's freaking cool. That's why. Game 7 for the Stanley Cup winner take all is freaking balls is what it is, and that's why people care, because they should.
And this atmosphere is unbelievable. It's been like this since 10 a.m. today. It's a great atmosphere out here, and there's nothing that really compares to this. Like, honestly, like, this might be the most jacked I've seen this city since 2011. I thought 2013 was a great story. Everyone loved it, but this feels like 2011. It really does out here.
Well, and speaking of which, just if you're a casual fan, you haven't had a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final since then. They're rare. They don't happen much.
Which is weird to think, right? Because we always talk about, oh, there's nothing like Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. And it doesn't really happen in this round all that often.
Is this the 17th? Was that
the
number?
Home teams 12-4.
Home teams are 12-4, Ty. There you go.
Yeah, except the home team in 2011 lost.
Paul in the car. Go ahead, Paul. What do you got?
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey, Mike, I'm on Causeway Street. I have your balls in my hand, if you're looking for them. Where are you? Why are you so afraid of this game? Who's the best player on both teams on the ice?
Ryan O'Reilly.
What?
Ryan O'Reilly.
Tuukka Rask.
Oh, okay. Other than the goalie. Fine. Rask.
No. How can you just put that aside? He's the best goalie. He's going to win the Conn Smythe Trophy if they lose. Listen. So, second best player, Brad Marchand. Not
Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh, God.
No. Ryan O'Reilly is one-dimensional. He's a mini Bergeron. He's not a goal scorer. He's got a couple of goals in the series. He's a nice player. Brad Marchand is an elite player. I'm telling you right now, the Bruins will win tonight. It's going to be the first 10 minutes of the game. You're going to see a big push by St. Louis. They're going to play physical. At the end of the day, though, the Bruins have to come out and play their game. God help us if we go on the power play in the first period. Game over.
Okay, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Can I say this? As the game gets closer and closer, the more confident I feel in the Boston Bruins. I think St. Louis is talking too much. Pat Maroon this morning, the first thing he says is, he goes, well, you guys are all rooting for us to lose. Who? Who is rooting for the Blues to lose? Do they have this hatred around the league that everyone wants to see them fail? No, the Bruins do, because they play in Boston. Everyone hates Boston, right? So that's the... I don't understand why they're saying all these things. Binnington, after Game 6, I thought he was a dink to the reporter. I think that they are way too much in their own head right now versus the Bruins. I know you've talked about you want to be the home team or the road team. You want to be the road team, sure. I think this road team is in their own head right now. I really do.
Oh, my God. How'd they ever win 3 games against you in the first place? I mean, that previous caller, you right here. I mean, they've played you toe-to-toe. Frankly, they've probably been a little bit better than you over the balance of the 6 games. And you all act like they can't get up and tie their shoes in the morning. It's ridiculous.
I just would like to know how a guy like that goes through life so blissfully optimistic. I know nothing like that.
You're like pre-2004 Boston fan, and I love everything about
it. I think I'm worse than always. I don't know how anyone could be like, yeah, I'm super confident walking in there tonight. They're going to, please. There's nothing fun about like at least the first period, and God forbid the Blues score first.
Oh, sorry, Jim.
No, I'm just going off on a mental breakdown.
Ty, if you had grown up in that era, you'd be the same way. As far as I'm concerned, nothing since 2001 has ever happened.
I know. I listen to the show every day.
Mike in Weymouth. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello. For the Bruins, I agree with Frank. It's all about their skating, and the Bruins have come out skating every time they've had more than one day of rest. They've played really well. They've outplayed the Blues when they've had that extra day of rest.
Not true.
Game 5?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what I was just going to say.
They had one day.
No, they didn't.
No, that was 2 days. Every travel days had 2 days. Every switch in cities had 2 days. So game five was 2 days.
So I thought that coming out of game four, I thought, well, this, you know, the schedule the rest of the way would benefit the Bruins. And then in game five, they went out and sucked. So, like, there's just no, there is no way to know. Again, I know people are going to lean the way they want to lean based on what their wants are. There is no way to know what is going to happen in that building based on what has already happened.
Todd, the thing that scares me the most, and that's why I asked you, thank you for the 5-on-5 numbers before, by the way.
Yeah, no worries.
Typically, that's a pretty good barometer. You know, the better 5-on-5 team typically wins at this round. They do. And I think the Blues have been a better 5-on-5 team. They've outscored them 12-10. What I was surprised in your numbers is where the Bruins ranked 5-on-5 in the league. I didn't realize they were the fourth team 5-on-5 in the regular season. I thought they were at the bottom third of the league. That's what I've been led to believe. This isn't goal differential. I don't know if there's different metrics or whatever, but in goal differential, they were a top five team in the league, which makes me feel better because it wouldn't be much of an aberration there if the Bruins win the cup because they are a good 5-on-5 team. It's just the Blues have been better this series, but that's my biggest hang-up.
I understand where you're coming from, but the Blues have been a better team in this series, but when I watch these games, the Blues are winning what feels like directly off Boston screw-ups. Or just uncharacteristic mistakes they make, like the line change on the Ryan O'Reilly goal. But then I look at the Bruins in Game 6. I saw what they did defensively and how they shut it down. Their center was a third defenseman in Game 6 all night long.
No question.
They had tremendous support, and I think that they have enough to bring out another game like that versus a game that you may have seen in Game 5 or in Game 4 in St. Louis. I really do feel like the Bruins, they're a better team. If they play to their system, they're going to be better than the St. Louis team.
Thanks for coming by, Ty. We'll see you inside.
Anytime.
Okay. Jim Murray, let's do the final word read right here. We're not going to do the final word. We're going to take a break, but let's take care of our friends at Town Fair Tire, read the sponsorship, and then we'll come back off the top of the hour and give you an extra hour of Felger and Mass. No baseball reporters. We're taking it to Dunkin' Donuts pregame. More Bruins coverage.
And that final word would be brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Okay, quick break. When we come back, we will have breaking news on the David Ortiz investigation. We will have breaking news on the latest with the Celtics and Anthony Davis. And we will have more Bruins coverage, an extra hour of Felger and Mazz coming your way right after this.
It's Felger and Mazz, the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.